You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Energy efficiency.
More than just getting you to change a light bulb.
Climate change.
Renewable energy.
This is what the U.S. has committed. This is what the EU has committed for 2020.
What can I do about it?
It's called the most important international gathering of the year. Others are calling it the Conference to Save the Planet. It's the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen. It begins today, and we're joined now by someone who is there. James Cantor is the European correspondent for the International Herald Tribune. Hi again, James.
Hello there.
A little noisy there where you are with people milling about behind you.
Indeed. I'm actually in the area where all the government delegations are. Here is where they plot out what they're going to be negotiating on over the next 2 weeks.
Well, that,
and so people are coming and going.
That must be a tense location, actually, because, you know, the expectations for this conference have gone really far down since when it was initially billed. They have been working on this conference for years and years and years. It was supposed to be the successor to the Kyoto Protocol and get a final worldwide treaty signed to fix the global warming project, but that's not what we're talking about now, is it?
Not quite what we're talking about. What the organizers of the conference are talking about and what they really want to achieve at the end of this 2 weeks is to have a framework so when they go into 2010, they can dot the I's and cross the T's and have something approximating a global treaty if indeed there is the will among nations to tackle greenhouse gases in that fashion. It's not yet clear whether a global treaty will be the tool that's used, but certainly I think most nations, especially the Europeans, as well as nations in the developing world, would like to see some form of agreement globally that would hold nations to account.
James Cantor, we heard India coming to the table talking about cutting their greenhouse gases, and we heard target levels from both the U.S. and from China. Is setting a target one of the big advances that we're seeing coming into this conference?
Yes. I think if you speak to officials from the United Nations Climate Office and from the UN Environment Program, this is a point that they underline. We just had Ivo de Boer, who's the head of the UN Climate Office, say this morning that never in the 17 years of climate change negotiations that he's been involved in has he seen so many nations make so many firm pledges all at more or less the same time. So almost every day, it seems, over the last couple of weeks, countries have been announcing new targets and plans of action, and that certainly has given what's going on here, or what's getting off the ground here this morning, a certain feeling of momentum.
Okay, so James Cantor is at Copenhagen. You can hear all the people milling about behind him. Quite a bit quieter where Ben Smith is. Ben Smith is the senior political reporter for Politico. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me.
President Obama is attending this conference, as are many world leaders, and a lot of people say that that shows a commitment to this climate change issue. And I'm wondering, how much political capital is President Obama risking by appearing at the conference, by setting a target for the United States?
Well, I mean, I think the central question issue is that he chose not to make this a priority. You know, early this year, they decided that healthcare would be the first fight, I think partly because they thought it would be a clean and easy win, and that they would then take the momentum from that and turn to climate change. That's not how it's worked out. And in fact, they've now teed up a sort of populist issue of financial reform next and are hoping to get to climate change in the spring. So, I mean, I don't think he's risking that much political capital. He's chosen to put this not on a back burner, but kind of on a side burner.
But do you think that that climate change will get passed on Capitol Hill eventually, that the U.S. can meet the goals that the President Obama has set?
It's unclear. I think most people think it has a pretty good shot. President Obama has set pretty modest goals. What the head of the Sierra Club told me the other day, goals he thinks that will be met even if Congress does nothing. Goals that can be met through administrative action and state action. So I'm not sure if that's exactly true. But you know, he has not set the most ambitious goals in the world.
James Cantor, at the conference in Copenhagen, this is Todd Zwillick here. The fact that the president, that the president had hoped originally to have a climate bill passed or at least a good deal of a way through the Senate by now, the fact that we don't and we're nowhere near a climate bill in the U.S. Is that in part what has led to the lowering of expectations there? Is it really that the United States does not have the momentum that many thought that they would by now?
Yes, I think I understood the question. Certainly the inability of the United States, the limits on the president because of the legislative process in the United States has been something that Europeans, who are one of the great sort of negotiating partners in this game, recognized pretty early on a couple of months ago. And efforts were made well ahead of the Copenhagen conference to not necessarily lower expectations, but to come up with a framework so as much as possible could get done while the conference takes place here, and then to try and seal a deal, as it were, sometime in 2010, in order to give that legislative process in the United States enough time to play out.
Ben Smith of Politico, one of the big arguments there is over how much money will go to developing nations from the developed world in order to help the poorer countries pay for reducing their greenhouse gases and making some of these developments. Will that be easier for President Obama to sell? Will giving money to developing nations be the easier pill for Congress to swallow?
Easier, I would think. Yeah, I think right now the really fierce opposition has focused on the mechanism of cap and trade, the mechanism of how you're going to reduce carbon, which is something that would have a real impact on the American economy. I'm sure there will be people who throw a fit over subsidies for developing nations as well. I mean, it's a tough time for President Obama to do anything that is not about sort of directly connected to creating American jobs. And I think he's probably going to wind up trying to cast this in those terms. But no, I think that's probably the easier lift.
Okay, Ben Smith is a senior political reporter for Politico. Quickly, James Cantor, you're there at Copenhagen. Give me a takeaway. People have said this is the conference to save the planet. What do you think we're going to be calling Copenhagen 3 weeks from now?
Well, it's hard to know. I think that when the world leaders gather here in 10 days from now, we really will see whether they come up with an agreement that they can call the beginnings of a global accord. If they do come up with that, then I think it will probably go down as somewhat historic. If they don't, then it will also go down as a historic failure.
Historic one way or the other. That's James Cantor, correspondent for the International Herald Tribune, joining us from Copenhagen. Later this hour, we're going to touch on this again by talking about new ways to convince people to make tough choices about their own environment impact, and we're going to be keeping our eyes on climate change and Copenhagen all week long.